This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Welcome to the Championship Fan Show this afternoon with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock. Coming up over the next hour, we're building up to another busy weekend of Championship football, the final games before Christmas. Where will all the teams end up by the end of the weekend as we hit exactly the halfway mark, the 23rd games of all, for all teams other than two, actually, Nottingham Forest and Reading, who've still got a game in hand. We're going to be talking all things Charlton. This takeover is seemingly happening, but it still hasn't happened yet. Is there a worry that it isn't going to go through? We're going to talk about Huddersfield. Has that bounce ended under Danny Cowley, and are they being sucked further and further, or closer and closer, to the relegation zone? We'll also be talking about Reading. Not many people turning up for home games at the Medeski Stadium. They're only 5 points above the relegation zone. Are they very much still looking over their shoulders? Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. So that number again, 0208 7020 558. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, we want to hear from you this afternoon. Obviously, the Championship Fan Show here every weekday afternoon between 2 and 3 o'clock, dedicated to all Championship fans out there from all 24 clubs, sharing your view on your club. So make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. As I mentioned, Charlton, in particular Charlton, Huddersfield and Reading fans, we want to hear from you this afternoon, sharing your views on your club. All three sides hovering just a few points and a few places above the relegation zone. It'll be interesting to see whether over these next few weeks whether they can push their way further away from the relegation zone, or whether they're going to be sucked closer and closer into the battle. And the last thing you want going into the new year is to be sucked into that, because you're constantly looking over your shoulders, playing under that pressure rather than looking ahead. I thought for this first section, as we are heading towards halfway stage, one more game this weekend to go before we get to 23 games, that I thought for me, for producer Will and myself, that we would start predicting. It's a dangerous game to play, trying to, especially the Championship this season. We speak to so many guests, and we always talk about inconsistency, and it's impossible to predict. But I suggested today we try and predict what our top six in the Championship is going to be and the bottom three. I'm sure for you, Will, as it is going to be for me, a rather difficult challenge.
It's so close up there for the top six. It's from I think it's 12th or something like that. It's so tight. Anything could happen. But I have got my top six.
Right,
I've nailed them on.
Where do you want to start? Do you want to start at the top or the bottom?
Should we build to the top?
Build to the top. Let's go down to the bottom. Okay, yeah. So as it stands, let's just paint the picture of where we currently are at. Barnsley bottom on 16 points. Wigan second bottom on 18 points. Stoke 18 points as well. Just outside the relegation zone, we have Luton on 20, Borough on 21, Huddersfield 22, Reading 23, Charlton 24, if you want to include them as well. So, bottom, Barnsley currently occupy that spot.
Yeah.
Are we thinking, even though Gerhard Struber's gone in there, Carlo from the Reds report the other day was comparing him to Father Christmas and saying he's giving all their presents and they're going to turn it around. Are you looking at Barnsley and thinking they're favourites for the bottom spot?
They are. I have got them down for the bottom spot. I just think it's such a turnaround job there. They weren't even happy with the initial sacking. So I just can't see it turning around there. I think it's going to be too much of a job. Their home form even now isn't great. Nothing seems to really be coming together for them. It's not like they've gone on, like Huddersfield did, gone on a great run of results and picked their form up. It's still really inconsistent. And I think once the fixtures start to pile up later on in the year, I think they're really going to struggle.
Well, they had that enthralling 5-3 win against QPR last weekend, which was a pretty nutty game. They don't struggle to score goals. You look at their 29. Actually, a lot of the sides in the bottom half, there are very few that have more goals than them. You actually have to go up as high as 14th before you get to the next side that scored more. But conceding-wise, is a problem.
Yeah, it's only Luton who've conceded more this year, isn't it?
So Luton have conceded 46, Barnsley 45. I'm going to agree with you, Will. I think Barnsley are going to occupy bottom spot. So let's go with the other two, and you can say which ones you've gone for. Currently, it is Wigan and Stoke. They're both on 18 points.
Yep.
Do you think either of those sides are going to be remaining in those positions?
I think Wigan will. But I think Wigan will put up a little bit more of a fight. I can see Stoke getting out of it with Michael O'Neill. I think they'll be fine. But Wigan, I just don't think they have enough. I do rate Paul Cook as a manager. I think he's a good coach. But I just don't think they have it in them to stay up this year. So I think they'll make a fight of it. But I think they're my tip to finish 22nd.
You've even gone specific there.
I have, yeah.
So if it's not going to be Stoke, who is going to take that other position?
Luton for me. I think it's a bit of a they've come up from League One. It's all fairy tale. It's all really nice. But I think the bubble's about to burst for them. I just don't think they can maintain it. I don't think they've got the squad depth. I just really, really genuinely don't think they have it in them to quite make that jump up. I think they'll go back down this year.
Do you think that appointing Graham Jones was the right decision? Now, obviously, it's easier to say it now that we're 22 games into the season than it was at the beginning, but he wasn't the man that brought them up. Obviously, Nathan Jones was there for half the season. Then Mick Harford came in on a caretaker basis, and Graham Jones took over this season. As I said, hindsight is a wonderful thing, and we can use it now, but was it the right appointment even at the time?
I think they could have got better. I think they should have aimed to get a little bit better. For me, it was just not... I don't know. It just still seemed a little bit lackadaisical. It wasn't nailed on. Nothing seemed... It wasn't inspiring from Luton when they made that call. It was very, sort of middle of the road, a bit boring. And I think that's going to pay dividends. I really, really, really can't see them staying up this year.
So I think I'm going to agree, just swapping round the positions. Luton 22nd, Wigan 23rd. Do you think... So we've got the likes of Borough and Stoke, two big clubs down towards the bottom. How long do you expect them to be in this relegation battle? Is it going to be a case of throughout the season, right to the end, they're going to be having to scrap away? Or do you see them over these next couple of months managing to force their way away from it and then kind of not having to look over their shoulders?
I think Stoke and Huddersfield will force themselves away from it quite comfortably. It all depends on how long Middlesbrough give Jonathan Woodgate for me. If they make a decision like they need to pretty soon, then I think they'll still steer clear of it once they get a more experienced manager in. I think they'll be fine. It's hard. I think there might appear a little bit of a gap between that bottom three and the rest of them. I think Stoke, like I said, will be fine under Michael O'Neill.
The indication is, though, from Borough, they are going to give him time. That he said he needs January transfers. They're seeming to suggest that they are going to keep him and give him funds in January. So that's the bottom three.
Yep.
We're both in agreement that it is going to be the same three: Luton, Wigan and Barnsley. Two of those sides currently there. Luton just outside, but the number of goals, as you mentioned a bit earlier, 46 goals conceded.
It's too many.
You're not going to stay in the Championship conceding at that rate of knots, over two goals a game. Right, so let's go to the top. Let's start with the automatic promotion spot. So we've got West Brom on 49 so far. One game lost all season, the most consistent of a very inconsistent bunch. Leeds, second on 47. Now, there's a 10-point gap between Leeds and Preston. However, this is Leeds, and who knows what might happen. If I go first with, I think West Brom are a guarantee.
Agreed, 100%.
I'm going to say they are the champions now.
Totally agree.
West Brom fans will be probably thinking, don't curse it. You've probably ruined it all now. They're going to fall out of contention. 12 points clear, one game lost all season.
Yeah.
With the squad they've got, with manager they've got, I can't see that changing, and I think they will finish top. Leeds, though, I'm going to leave it to you first because I'm going to bottle it for the moment. Is it going to be the top two as it is?
You're going to bottle it just like Leeds are going to bottle it. Leeds are going to finish third and Preston are going to come in at second. Preston's home form under Alex Neil is unbelievable.
Preston, I'm surprised you said that. And the reason why is because about a month ago, I think that prediction would have been quite a popular one. They've gone through awful form. Not just that, they haven't looked very good. They got battered, for example, 4-0 against Hull.
They did.
And there are some poor games in there.
For me, that's the nature of the Championship. And I think teams will suffer that all season. These little inconsistencies, these little niggles, they will come up for every single team this season. I just think, like I said, their home form is just unbelievable. They're so, so good at home. It's a fortress. And I really, really fancy them to kick on. It looked like it last year. Halfway through the season, even though Norwich were going well, if you'd have said Leeds were at this position a year ago, and everyone was saying Sheffield United won't catch them, and they did. So for me, I really, really think that Preston might do it, and Leeds have this tendency, they don't look great this season. I mean, the Cardiff game, I think it's their annual bottle it party, isn't it? Annual bottle it Christmas party, where they just seem to fall to pieces, and I think it will happen again.
I think I think the one positive for Leeds is the defence, because you look at against 13 goals in 22 games. Now, whether they can maintain that, I think if it was any other side, I think I'd say the top two are going to be as it is, and it's not going to change. I'm tempted to agree with you that Leeds aren't going to finish top two.
Yeah.
It's just a case of who the other side is. Yeah. And I'm probably torn. It's difficult because there are literally no points that cover a few teams.
No,
you go to Preston in third on 37. On in 10th, Swansea 34. So one win covers third to 10th. I'm going to say Fulham are going to be the second side. I just think they're a good team at kind of getting their runs at the right time, that they're able to time it perfectly. And I just see Leeds, it's this mental blockade. It's every single season.
Okay.
You're wondering when they're going to get back. They're not going to finish top two. So West Brom and Fulham for me, West Brom and Preston for you. You've already said Leeds are third.
Leeds are third, yeah.
How do you see, I mean, I think predicting fourth, fifth, sixth is probably the most difficult thing to do in the Championship this season.
This is where it gets a bit controversial.
I think I've got to nail my mask to a third place side. I'm going to say Leeds are even going to drop further than that.
Really?
I'm going to go for Brentford in the third position.
Okay.
So, fourth. You've already said Leeds to finish third. How are you going to go 4, 5, 6?
See, this is very rogue. I've gone a bit rogue here. I've gone a bit out there. So, you know, please get in touch if you do want to.
That number, 0208 70 20 558.
Beat me to it, exactly. Fourth, I know they started really well. They've fallen off. I think they're going to get back on it. I really fancy Mark Cooper's Swansea. I think they're going to romp back up the table. I really do. I think they've got all the facilities there. They've definitely got everything that is in place to make that push. It's a young and inexperienced side. If he can pick them back up again, I really fancy them to go on a nice run.
You weren't listening to Tom Coleman yesterday. He said, Wales Online, obviously dedicated to Swansea, he said even if they keep Andre Ayew in January, he doesn't believe they're good enough for promotion. But
how many times have we heard that about Championship teams?
People have been proven wrong in the past. So you've gone Swansea fourth. I think I'm going to put Leeds. I don't think they're going to slip further down than that.
Okay, that's fair.
Leeds fourth. So we've got our final two places to come, fifth and sixth. As you've gone first already, I'll go with the first fifth. So currently, Sheffield Wednesday, the team sat in fifth place. They've got this potential points deduction hanging over them, potential transfer ban.
That's why they've stayed out of mind, yeah.
I think they're going to come out. I'm going to go Bristol City.
Okay.
They're going to be my fifth place side. Who are you going to go for fifth?
I've gone for Brentford fifth. I can't see past. They've got to get in the playoffs. They look really good this year. I think Ollie Watkins is a really, really top player.
He might go in January?
I think they'll definitely try and keep hold of him just until the end of the season. They'll do everything they can because he will be absolutely vital if they're going to finally get into the Premiership with the new ground and everything looming. Getting into the Premiership is perfect for them.
And the final one, so sixth place. You've got West Brom, Preston, Leeds, Swansea, Brentford. Who's your sixth place side?
Nottingham Forest, yeah.
They've had a poor run of form. They got battered on the weekend Sheffield Wednesday.
But like I keep saying, everyone, this is one of those divisions where everyone's going to batter everyone at some point. Like it's just like that. You can win 1-4-0, you can lose 1-4-0. And I just think Forest have ultimately a lot of quality in that side. And enough to just squeeze into the playoffs. There are a few, obviously, I'm leaving out, like, you know, Fulham, Bristol City, Sheffield Wednesday. But I just think there's quite a lot of stuff in there that means Forest can break into that top six.
And the final team, who am I going to go for? It's so, so difficult because there are so many teams that you can throw into the conversation. I'm not going to go Preston. And I think performance-wise, not good. Sheffield Wednesday could have a points ban, so I'm not going to go them. I'm gonna go rogue with this one. I'm gonna go quite a few places down. You've already gone Swansea, who are currently 10th. I'm going to put in there. I'm gonna go for Cardiff City.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Millwall.
Well, I thought about that for a moment, and I thought, can they get top six? No. So I'm gonna go Cardiff. So I will take a picture of these of our top six and bottom three, and at the end of the season, we can laugh at how wrong, or just bask in our own glory at the ability to predict. Thank you very much, producer Will,
Thank
for going
you
through. Obviously, looking at the top six, bottom three, if you've got a view on that, I mean, it is anyone's guess as to what could be that top two. We're either going to look like geniuses or wondering what on earth we're doing talking about the Championship. If you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in touch with us. Later in the hour, we're going to be talking about Huddersfield and a bit of Reading as well. But up next, we'll be talking all things Charlton.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock. And if you miss any of the Premier League or the Championship Fan Show, you can listen back to the podcast. It's on Audio Boom. So if you type in Premier League Fan Show or Championship Fan Show, you can listen in to obviously the best bits, and you don't even need to listen to the breaks. They're all just cut short. You just have a sweeper in between and you're able to listen to it in a much faster time than without the advert. So if you want to listen to it back or listen to any bits that you may have missed, on Audio Boom, if you type in Premier League Fan Show or Championship Fan Show on Love Sport, you can find them on there. We're going to be talking all things Charlton now. I'm delighted to say we are joined by Lewis Catt from Charlton Live. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Lewis. It must feel like a bit of a time ago, casting your mind about six evenings ago to last Friday night. Charlton were at home against Hull. It looked like Charlton were going to win it 2-1, but Hull scored a 96-minute equaliser to deny Charlton. That must have been a really devastating blow for Lee Bowyer and the Charlton fans.
It was, yeah. It was a real kick in the teeth. I mean, we spoke just before the Huddersfield game on the Tuesday night, where we lost that right at the end as well, and the performance was nowhere near. And we'd also mentioned about Middlesbrough the weekend before that the performance level had seriously dropped, and there was a cause for concern. But on Friday was a different story, really. I thought that we bounced back from the two negative performances. I think that we played a lot better with a bit more confidence. I thought that players that had sort of come under a bit of scrutiny over recent weeks really stepped up to the plate, Naby Sarr specifically. And it's just one of those killer blows, as you say, right at the death, you know, seconds left on the clock. And it's a devastating feeling, really, because you feel like we deserve to win that game, and especially with a couple of tricky trips coming up now and tricky fixtures over the festive period, that probably would have been the lift that we needed to try and kick on now with this, you know, as the games come thick and fast over the festive period. You know, we've got QPR Saturday, and then we'll be looking at games with Bristol and Derby County, and they come thick and fast and against tough opposition. So I think the confidence was needed on that Friday from the victory, but unfortunately we didn't defend to the final whistle, and we conceded those extra 2 points, and we come away with a draw. But the performance was better, and I think that's the positive that I'd take away from that.
We obviously spoke ahead of the Huddersfield game, and they looked like obviously back-to-back games in a short space of time, but home games against Huddersfield and Hull after the poor run that Charlton have been on, two wins since the middle of September, that it looked like a really good opportunity, no disrespect to those sides, but at home, a good opportunity for Charlton to get a bit of momentum in what is a very busy period. If you're playing well, it's the best period of the season to be playing in. When you're not getting results, it isn't. And I'm assuming that a 1 point haul from those two home games is not exactly what Charlton fans were looking for.
No, definitely not. And I think, you know, we've spoken a lot this season, and I've said to you sort of time after time that I fancy to beat anybody at home, because I feel that confident that when we step out of the valley that we're going to turn out a performance. The Huddersfield game, I was extremely disappointed, because I'd spoken to you earlier in the day about how disappointed I was up in Middlesbrough about the level of performance that was turned out there for the 500 travelling fans that had made that ridiculous journey up to the Riverside on a cold December Saturday to be given a performance like that was shambolic. And you kind of expect an immediate reaction of something like that, because I think that's the first time that, especially under Lee Bowyer, we've really felt a bit of, you know, a bit of crowd negativity and fans starting to, you know, get a little bit uneasy with the way things are going. And Huddersfield, I felt, was a good opportunity to do that. We didn't. We lost right at the death again. Didn't really create anything that sort of meant that we were able to win the game. And then we had the similar on Friday was fairly different in terms of performance, but again, we just didn't defend to the final whistle. And it was fairly unfortunate. And I know Bowyer's come out and said about the extra time that was played. You know, we were in the 96 minutes when the ball hit the back of the net, and we'd already played their 5 minutes of injury time, which was originally four on the fourth official board. So you can feel a bit hard done by on decisions, but the truth behind it all is that the performances just haven't really been there of late. And although we did turn it around slightly at Hull, there was still, we didn't create as much, and we're used to seeing a side that creates chance after chance, and we're guilty of not converting all those chances. Like that's something that we've that we've done for as long as I can remember. That's just the Charlton way of playing, unfortunately. But of late, that creative spark's gone missing, especially in the midfield. You know, we are short on numbers. I know we've spoken about that a lot in terms of the not just the amount of players, but the magnitude of those personalities that we're missing. The likes of Josh Cullen, the likes of Johnny Williams, who have both had incredible seasons leading up to their injuries. And they're important players for us. And you take your best players out of any football inside, up and down the country or around the world, then you know that football inside is going to be worse off. And I do feel unbelievably sorry for Lee Bowyer and the guys and what they're going through at the moment, because it seems like the injuries just keep coming thick and fast. And if it's not an injury, it's a sickness bug in the training camp or whatever. And it's just a really sort of unfortunate set of events. And I think the whole game would have been the lift that everybody needed to sort of push on now over the festive period. But we didn't get the win, but we've just got to dust ourselves down quickly and get on with it and go again.
One of those players that has spent quite a lot of time on the sidelines this season is Lyle Taylor. Now, some of the news coming out today is that he might have, apparently has turned down a new contract at Charlton. He is out of contract at the end of the season. Is there a growing concern, even with this potential new takeover? Now, we'll talk about that in just a few moments. That he will sign a new contract or a Charlton staring down the barrel, realistically, of having a big decision to make in Charlton. Do they keep him until the end of the season and then potentially allow him to just walk out of the club for free? Or do they look at thinking, if we can get some sort of decent bid in January, then Charlton might be willing to allow to part ways with him?
I think it massively depends on what happens with the ASI takeover. If we get that through before January, whether a revised offer is made from them, because I know that this offer was made from Roland de Chatelet. So, going off history, you know that's not going to be the best offer, because he hasn't put decent offers in front of anybody in the last 5 years. So there is the slight hope, potentially, that the takeover comes quickly and that East Street managed to put something in front of Lyle that will tempt him and maybe get him to commit. Failing that, if he doesn't want to be here, then I don't think that he should, if I'm being honest. I mean, I see the positives in keeping him until the end of the season, especially if it is Championship clubs that are interested in him, because you don't want to aid those that are just, you know, that are slightly above you in the league. You know, some of the sides that he's linked with were in sort of touching distance with, you know, the likes of Swansea, etc. And you've got Forest, Sheffield Wednesday and all those in for him as well. I think if you're going to sell him in January, ideally you want to sell him to somebody either lower echelons of the Premier League, or I know Rangers have been linked with him as well, just for our own protection, really. But there are positives also of keeping him until the end of the season and risking losing him on a free. I guess that really depends on if East Street Investments, once they're in the door, want to take that risk. Maybe they can get him to commit to something to the end of the season and then sell him for a fee in the summer. I don't really know how it's going to pan out. But, you know, the way I've seen a couple of things on Twitter today about Lyle and stuff, you can't really blame him. He's in the stage of his career where, throughout his whole career, really, he's been a bit of a journeyman, not in a bad way, but he's played for a lot of football clubs and he's never really got out of League One. He's always kind of played in and around League One, League Two. He played in Scotland for a little while. And he's getting his chance in the Championship now, and he grasped it. He grabbed it with both hands at the start of the season. And unfortunately for him, he has been injured for a very long time. But obviously clubs are still keen to see him because he's a very talented footballer and he brings a lot to any football side that will take him. I just think that he's done his bit for us in terms of last season. He was phenomenal. He scored us the goals that secured us a high finish and ended up getting us to Wembley. And we got to remember that side of it. You know, of course, I want him to stay. I'm a Charlton fan and I have enjoyed seeing Lyle Taylor play in a Charlton shirt. But I'm kind of resigned to the fact that I imagine that January will probably be looking for a replacement, because I can see him leaving.
And just finally, Lewis, up next for Charlton, a significant game, a London derby away at QPR on Saturday afternoon. Bit of injury news. Johnny Williams and Sam Field aren't going to be available. They've suffered injury setbacks, so won't be fit for the weekend. It's a pretty significant game and maybe an opportunity to act as a bit of a springboard if Saturday does go all right for Charlton to start getting some sort of momentum.
Yeah, definitely. You know, QPR themselves have had a bit of a bad run recently. They had a very disappointing result of the weekend against Barnsley. You know, no disrespect to Barnsley, but they're at the bottom for a reason. They're having a bit of an uplift at the moment. But QPR, that were a side that, similar to us, started the season quite positively. And under Mark Warburton, who's an experienced manager at this level, was starting to look like a bit of a unit, because before that, I know they'd gone through a couple of topsy-turvy seasons and managerial changes, and they were starting to look a bit more stable as a football club. But at the moment, it seems like that sort of taking, you know, a bit like us, really, the wheels have come off ever so slightly. And it's a good opportunity for us to go there because they're at home, so the pressure could be on them to turn up and perform. You know, we're missing players, of course we are, so the expectation levels from our supporters have dropped because, you know, no team I've ever seen has had as many injuries as us. And we're all feeling positive about having Johnny Williams and Sam Field back for the weekend. And now that's not the case. We're kind of back to square one. But I feel like we've got to go there. We're going to be backed by a lot of Charlton supporters. We've sold out the away end at Loftus Road, which is incredible this close to Christmas as well. It'll be a fiery London derby. And hopefully I can see us coming away with a result, because that would be the perfect sort of stepping stone as we head into the festive period, as we said about Hull, you know, to try and boost the confidence in the lads as we head into a really congested fixture list. And we're going to have to really go for it and try and pick up the points thick and fast over the festive season to pull ourselves away from the wrong end of the table and hopefully start propelling ourselves back up towards, you know, mid-tables and the top half.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Lewis. That was Lewis Catt from Charlton Live. An interesting game in store on the weekend. QPR against Charlton that you cast your mind about 6-7 weeks. Both of these sides started the season really well and were in and around the top six positions. For both sides, their form has completely gone downhill and they've slipped down the table. QPR have started to wrestle back a bit of momentum, but for Charlton, it's been just a couple of wins since the middle of September. Not good enough for them, and they'll be hoping that maybe the derby game against QPR can get their form back on track. Lyle Taylor, though, where does his future lie? Can they get him to sign that new contract? And if not, are they facing the prospect of selling him in the January transfer window? Charlton fans out there, are you worried that Lyle Taylor might leave? And would you sell him in January if he's made it clear he's not going to sign a new contract? Call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We're going to be talking about Reading slightly later in the hour, but up next, we'll be turning our attention to all things Huddersfield.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to be talking about Reading slightly later in the hour, but now we're going to be turning our attention to all things Huddersfield. And I'm delighted to say we are joined by Richard Kosmala from the Annie Takes That Chance podcast. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Richard. Let's cast our mind back to the weekend. A 1-1 draw away at Wigan last weekend. Wigan in and around the relegation zone. So how did you view that? Did you think that was an OK point away from home, or were you thinking maybe there were 3 points to be had there?
Yeah, it's mixed feelings, to be honest with you. I mean, firstly, the game was horrible. Not much better than the Charlton game, which obviously we won late on. And the standard of football in the Championship, maybe that's a debate for another day. But yeah, obviously we were one goal behind. Thought we're going to have the better of the game, to be honest with you. And then Callum Grant does what he does. Absolute worldie of a goal. But yeah, we had a chance played off the line at the end. Steve Mooney had a header, but did we deserve to get over 3 points? Probably not. So you take probably 4 points from the two away games. But Huddersfield Town, he's not great at the moment, but it's not going to be. We just need to, as I've said a few times on here, we need to stay up whatever it takes. And 4 points from two away games last week, ticking the positive box, really.
Where do you think Richard Huddersfield are currently at? They are 19th in the table. They're 4 points above the relegation zone. At one point during the early part of Danny Cowley's tenure, the Huddersfield went on a 7-match unbeaten run. The form slightly dipped, but then the last week, 4 points out of a possible six. Is it still worrying that you're not that far above the relegation zone? Or are you thinking, considering where you were in the first couple of months of the season, to be outside the relegation zone and 4 points clear of it actually is a pretty solid position to be in?
Exactly what you said at the end, Kieran, there. That's what I'm looking at. I really believe that, you know, when Danny Cowley came in, we lost the first game in Sheffield Wednesday. My worry was the window being a long way off at that point. We needed to get certain enough points to give ourselves a chance in the second half of the season, obviously, when he can get his own men in and ship a few other people out. So 100% where we are. I think what I see maybe happening now is the bottom eight. I think it's just going to be a big scrap. I don't see many kind of... I mean, Derby obviously have slipped down a bit, but I don't really see them being involved with it. I think from about 16th down, maybe 17th down, I think that's the other teams that are going to be there at the end. So, yeah, my glasses are full because what does that have to do with... It's incredible, really. We're in the Premier League and Stoke could say the same, but you'd expect a lot more quality. I'd like to think we'd be more of a West Brom, but you know, factions of the dressing room, guys not bothered to play, you know, boys in training ground and things. So Danny Cowell's come in and he's kind of shuffled a few things round, brought back spirit and pride, and yeah, to be where we are ahead of a kind of really crucial time, really, after Nottingham Forest. We've got some big games, Middlesbrough, Stoke, where with you know, people around us, but got to be honest, we've not beaten anyone good. So, I mean, Hull probably his best victory, playing well, and you know, they're a bit hit and miss out there. But any time we've come up against some quality opposition, we've been well beaten. So we've still got a lot of development to do, really.
It's inevitable that we get to what, the 19th of December, and people are talking quite a lot at the moment about the January transfer window. In his press conference today, Danny Cowley's been talking about it in terms of incomings before we may look at some outgoings. He cited that he said it's not an easy window, but if they can bring in the right people, then he is looking to do business. He said how, in particular, they've had conversations with some Premier League clubs about young players, potentially taking a few players on loan. Is that the sort of... What you're looking for from January? Some exciting young players that are looking to prove themselves, looking to kind of really kickstart their career? Are those the types of players you'd be looking to bring in?
You said it there, kid, and prove ourselves. For me, we've got kind of few players who think they're better than they are, and they'll be out the door in January with some significant you know, money. We'll probably have to take a hit on them as well, mentioning kind of no names. So, yeah, we need, I mean, the DNA of Danny Cowley is, they're hungry, as he is as a manager. The guys that have come in through the academy, you know, they're really hungry, obviously wanting to, you know, have a career at Huddersfield Town. So them are the people that we want. So it fits in nicely, I think, with the you know, some of the Premier League guys. You've only got to look at how Derby have been, you know, disappointing this year compared to what they had last year. But I think a lot of that's probably down to the Premier League loanees that are no longer with them. And you've got to look as well, you know, Tammy Abraham, I'm obviously been around a bit, but he's had some miss and mount. The experience you can get in the Championship, so the guy at Leeds at the moment, you know, if they can get, you know, back up there. So there's a good advert there for hopefully the Premier League clubs thinking, yeah, okay, well, they're still not doing really well, but good manager, good club, and maybe we can send a couple of guys there to develop. And so for me, it's all about, yeah, hungry players. So got to be honest, if the guy's 34, you know, and he's still up for the battle, then bring him in. But I think obviously having his fingers burned from the Premier League, you know, guys, you know, I'm just, you know, no longer going to play for us again. I just want people who, you know, want to play for us to go town.
We were talking before you came on, Richard, with a guest from Charlton, and talking about Lyle Taylor, who's potentially going to reject a new contract, might be out of contract at the end of the season. Can Charlton keep hold of him? I'm sure that you perhaps don't want to talk about it much, don't want it talked about too much in regards to Carlton Grant. He's been in fantastic form ever since really joined Huddersfield, even last season in the Premier League, joined halfway through and actually acquitted himself quite well. Are you going into this window, it's only a couple of weeks away now, are you seriously worried that a club towards the top end of the Championship might poach him in January, or do you think that's something that's going to be sorted out? It may be. I think when we last spoke, Richard, you said you were kind of resigned to the fact that next season he's probably not going to be there, but do you think there's a serious risk that Huddersfield might lose him in January? And if so, is that going to potentially kind of bring Huddersfield closer and closer to the relegation zone?
You said that, Kieran, for me, kind of you're playing Russian roulette with our future in the Championship, because you've only got to look at his, you know, take his goals away, and then, well, we caught him not a right lot, to be honest with you. So it's imperative we keep him at all costs, but money talks, and the trouble is scoring goals like he did on Saturday. I've seen them a lot on like kind of show reels on the Twitter, you know, a lot of kind of the big kind of media people getting hold of it. What about this for goals? So it's going to turn heads. I'm sure we'll get, there'll be a few conversations. I like to think as chairman Phil Hodgkinson will kind of say, not, you know, not now, but obviously be fair to the player, maybe come again in, you know, August. But the money does talk, doesn't it? And I've got to be honest with you, it's got to begin with a two for me if you're selling, and because he's proven himself in the Premier League last year in a shocking team. So I don't want to sell him. I just think if he guarantees your goals, yeah, right, you could get someone in, but will they guarantee your goals? It's proven. So for me, the conversation, I'm sure that's already been had, would be, yeah, we'll listen to what's coming in, but we want to keep you and, you know, stay with us, keep us in the division, and then, yeah, we'll be true to you in the summer and see what's around. But luckily, he's in a bit more of a longer contract than other players. So yeah, the guy's is it such a predator. There's games where you're watching, think he's not really done anything, and then like Saturday, bang, brilliant goal. So hopefully we'll be batting these offers away.
just finally, then, Richard, looking at the games coming up for the Terriers, it's at home against Nottingham Forest on Saturday, then away to Middlesbrough on Boxing Day, home to Blackburn a few days later, and then on the 1st, on New Year's Day, it's at home to Stoke. From those four games, a lot of those sides, or half those sides, are in and around Huddersfield near the bottom, a couple of sides that are in the top half of the table. What are you realistically, from those 12 points available, what are you realistically targeting from those four games?
Yeah, I mean, starting Saturdays, we seem to be playing teams who have come off a hiding. We played Bristol after they got battered, and obviously they did one on us. Forest, shocker last week, and Sheffield Wednesday. So, on Saturday, though, it's one of those games. It's a funny one, isn't it? I'd probably take a point, but a victory, depending if we get some of us injured men, but why not? Middlesbrough, you don't want to just... I'd like to win there, obviously, but like we did at Stoke and Charlton, teams around us, but I'd be happy to walk away with a point. Blackburn at home, they're better, you know, much better on at Ewood than they are on the travels. So, and then Stoke, I'd like to see 6 points would be okay, Kieran. But I think the big thing is, if we're going to lose to Forest, don't lose to your rivals down there. So I would, you know, if we could, you know, get the 6 points off Middlesbrough and Stoke, then that would be brilliant. And if we have to, you know, lose a couple of games, Blackburn and you know, Nottingham on Saturday, but slightly division in it, anything's possible. And yeah, it's a big time for us. I think once January the 1st comes, Stoke game goes, we'll know if we're kind of really in the battle, which I think we still will be, or maybe a bit of a breathing space. So yeah, let's see.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Richard. That was Richard Kosmala from the And He Takes That Chance podcast, talking all things Huddersfield there. A couple of interesting championship lines to bring you this afternoon. One really nice story, actually, that's emerged today is that Blackburn have offered complimentary tickets to Bury fans to watch their home game at Ewood Park on Boxing Day against Birmingham. Now, as football fans, I'm not sure whether people are particularly receptive of going to another ground to watch two teams that they don't even like. But a nice gesture by Blackburn after what's happened to Bury over the last few months, for them to show a gesture like this, offering complimentary tickets to Bury fans. Another story this afternoon, we were talking about Charlton, and we didn't talk too much about the new ownership or the potential new ownership. Now, it was a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I think it was, that it was announced that Roland Duchatelet had agreed to sell the club to East Street Investment. Now, it seems we've been wondering, because obviously it has to be ratified, it has to be checked and fully verified by the EFL before it goes through. Now, that still hasn't happened 3 weeks down the line. And the EFL are investigating some suggestions or some reports that maybe there's links between Manchester City and this consortium that is potentially going to buy Charlton, that East Street Investment are maintained that they haven't been funded in any way by the Mansour family that obviously that own Manchester City. Now, why is this an issue? Well, it's because obviously you can't have, and obviously at the moment, Manchester City and Charlton are in two different divisions. However, you can't have, for example, in European competition, you can't have sides that are owned by the same ownership group. It's obviously, if you think about it, it's a conflict of interest. In another sport, in rugby union, you take Mohamed Altrad, who owns Montpellier in France. He was in talks to potentially take over as the new owner at Gloucester in this country, but that was thrown out and wasn't allowed because of a potential conflict of interest if those two sides came up against each other in European competition. So that's why you're not allowed to do that. And that's why they're just investigating, is to seeing whether the Mansour family that own Manchester City, whether they have any links to this consortium that might take over at Charlton. So it's not all done, even though Charlton fans are pretty optimistic about the future and looking forward to a new experience without Roland Duchatelet. It's not all confirmed. That deal isn't over the line, and so still perhaps a bit of worrying for Charlton fans still ahead as we build into Christmas. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. Up next, we'll be talking all things Reading.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Let's talk all things Reading now. I'm delighted to say we're joined by Paul Mann from Elm Park Royals. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Paul. Well, I usually start off conversations with our guests and reviewing previous games. Now, when we come to your previous game, 0-0 draw away at Stoke, when I read the reports and read the descriptions of the game, it said, well, the less said about it, the better. It wasn't exactly a great game of football, was it, Paul?
Was it a game of football? It was absolutely dire. Both teams managing no shots on target through the whole 90 minutes. I think probably a case of neither team wanting to lose more than actually trying to win. But yeah. Just absolute rubbish, basically, and a non-event. I made a big thing of it on Sky Sports News on Soccer Saturday, saying both the goalkeepers are gone home. Game's still going on. Nobody'd notice, would they?
Looking at Reading's position then at the moment after that game, they are 18th, and they do have a game in hand, that game against Nottingham Forest that was postponed a few months ago. They're just 5 points above the relegation zone. We were just talking, Huddersfield, just before you came on, Paul, about where they're currently at with the season. With 5 points between yourself and the relegation zone, is it still a case of looking over your shoulders at the moment, or are you starting to look up the table rather than behind you?
Oh, I think it's definitely a case of looking down at the table and looking at the relegation zone. We've been in this position so many times in the last few years. Hopefully, we can use the festive period to slightly move away. We've got Derby coming up and we've got QPR. Now, neither of those games is going to be easy at all, but those are the kind of games that we have to be picking up for wins in, at least draws in, to move ourselves away from that zone. Compared to last season, we're 5 points better off and 4 places better off. So relatively, we could still move forward, but it's going to be a real important period coming up.
One of the talking points at Reading, actually off the field rather than on it, are the lowly crowds at the Medeski Stadium. They are noticeably very, very low this season, and they have been for a sustained period now throughout the beginning of this season. Where do you see it going? Do you think that this is a long kind of ongoing problem that isn't getting any better? Or are you seeing signs that potentially that the fans are coming back in? And why is it? Obviously, results will affect it in any way, any club's sort of attendances. So is that the main reason why some fans are not turning up that used to?
Yeah, I think it's as basic as results. Consistently, like I just said, over the last 4 out of 5 seasons, we've just been in the relegation zone, kind of hovering around it, just about avoiding it. We've had consistency of the worst type. We've been consistently poor, and that doesn't really attract people in. And people have moved on, I think, from the kind of era of 2006-05, when we had the great team under Koppel. Also, Reading historically doesn't have a massive, huge attendances. Really, before that period, until about 2 years ago, we were averaging about 17,000 or so in the Championship. And you're right, it has definitely dropped off. But I think it's a combination of factors. But the main one is the fact that the results have been very poor and the play has been awful as well, as you would expect with poor results.
So in terms of, obviously, Reading as a brand, as a business, will want more people, and as well as, obviously, the fact that the players enjoy playing in front of a bigger crowd. So obviously, results will, and more positive, more consistent results will help with this. But what other things do you think the club can do to get people back? Because as you said, it wasn't that long ago that the Medeski was packed out and a lot of people turning up for home games. Other than the simple fact of, obviously, which is nothing that I suppose the club can really do at the moment because it's the players' responsibility to do that. But what can the club do to potentially entice people back to coming to home games?
It's really hard to say because the club have actually been really good with lots of things. I mean, there's £20 to go and see Reading play. It's not particularly expensive for the games in the Championship. Some people might say it's not the easiest game to ground to get to in the country, but I don't know, what can they do? I mean, they've also put a lot of money into the team as well. So I'm not sure if the owners can really do a lot more. Maybe consistently stick with a manager, but if the managers aren't getting results, I mean, the one person that we had there before that was creating a bond was Jose Gomez. And since he's left, that divide with the fans and the players has definitely come back. But we both know that if we get results, that will come back instantaneously. So
I'm not sure what more they can do, to be honest.
Looking ahead then, Paul, to some of the games, obviously it's the festive period, games coming thick and fast at the moment, but the next two are both at home. They're at home to Derby on Saturday, then at home to QPR on Boxing Day. These are two sides just above Reading in the table, but being at home, it means that obviously for Reading fans, I suppose, it's a real bonus. You don't need to go hundreds of miles up and down the country over Christmas, but also for the players, they don't need to travel, and also in front of the home ground on home soil. A good opportunity for Reading, if they can get some good results over the next couple of games, to make sure there is a decent buffer between themselves and the relegation zone.
Yeah, like I was saying, this is a really key period now. Obviously, Derby aren't having the greatest season as well. Then we've got the QPR game, which has not pleased a lot of our fans by the fact that it's been moved to 7:30 on Boxing Day. But those are two games that they're going to be really tough against, but that is what's going to make the difference. So far in Bowen's reign, he's averaging 1.5 points per game over his 10 games. So if he was to continue at that rate, that would be absolutely fine for us staying. It's not going to be an issue with the points we've got already. But if we can get two wins out of those games, all of a sudden you start to feel a little bit safer. We'd probably be about 8 points away from the relegation zone and you start to feel safe. But yeah, pivotal period.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Paul. That was Paul Mann from the Elm Park Royals talking there about an importance for obviously Reading to build on the fact they've got two home games, and talking about those dwindling crowds that at the Medeski they're getting nowhere near sellouts. It's really reduced at the moment, and they need to try and get people back. Obviously, ultimately results are the key way of bringing fans back into the stadium and getting those home crowds up again. But are there other initiatives, other things they can do? Paul was saying there, it's not particularly expensive to watch Reading. Maybe there are a few different ways in which they can use to get the home people back into the Medeski Stadium.
This is Love Sport.